Well, you pet stylist, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird. Barbara, happy Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day is a weird day for me because I almost never have a honey on Valentine's Day. And so what do you do? Self-pity? Self-loathing?
I make myself cake.
You make yourself cake. Yeah, I already ate the cake. I bought a chocolate mousse Valentine's cake at Trader Joe's to share with Yvonne, and I ate the whole thing. I'll have to get another one.
I, too, stopped and got cake at lunch yesterday, a little fudge cake. I ate half of it. The other half's downstairs. I brought it home to share with the husband. Isn't that nice of
you? You're sweet. You see, you're better.
I am.
You have more discipline than I do. I said, oh, this is good. I'll have the other half. I did do it on two separate days, you know, but I wasn't going to just take half of Valentine's, which is in the shape of a heart, half of a little heart-shaped cake, and say, here you are. Here you go, bitch.
You know, like, you broke my heart.
Yeah,
you because you don't listen to what I tell you.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, welcome, everybody, on Facebook. We've got a few people out there watching. Welcome to episode 240 or Live 11. They're both the same. Brought to you by listener support through Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution, and the Absorber Towel. Of course, we're live, so we're not going to do the advertisements, but I will cut them in later. Just know that we appreciate all the support you guys can throw at our sponsors. All right. This week, we're going to talk foot care for the pups. Angry Bird is going to take a look at Hyponic product line. So, Barbara, it has been like 2 weeks since we've chatted. I feel like it's forever.
I know.
What's new?
What, you want to hear about my Elvis moment?
I do.
Okay, so everybody, I think you remember that we had to abort the live podcast last week because shortly before we were due to go on, I hurt myself. And what happened was that I was sitting on the toilet trying to make shit happen when this is what we call Elvis moment. Now, some of you may not know or even care about Elvis, who was like huge to me in my teenage years. And I was a giant Elvis fan, much to the chagrin of my Benny Goodman parents.
Uh-huh.
But I learned kind of through the grapevine that Elvis died while sitting on the toilet trying to take a poop. And so as I sit on the toilet trying to make shit happen, it wasn't happening. And I was playing iPhone solitaire, as I am wont to do. And I am so addicted to iPhone solitaire. I mean, it's just like one game after another. I can play 100 games in a day. It's not unusual. I think I've played something like 9,000 games of iPhone solitaire. So I'm sitting there one game after another, and I notice that my legs are going to sleep. And I said, oh, shit, my legs are going to sleep. But nothing's happening. And so I said, but just another game. And then, just another game. So my legs really went to sleep. And finally, I said, you know, I probably should get up and give up this mission. And
abort.
Stop the iPhone solitaire. Get on with it. I stood up and immediately collapsed because I didn't know. I have had my legs go to sleep before right there on that toilet. And I've stood up and then you just stand there and then your legs get some circulation and then you walk. But this time I thought my leg would just be like a solid stick or something. No, it was just like jello leg.
Ooh.
It just wouldn't support my weight. And I just like crashed over onto the tile floor and twisted my ankle and stretched everything's which ways that they shouldn't have stretched. And I lay there with my pants still down Because I, you know, like, ah! I went to pull up my pants, and then I went down. And so I've got the bare ass on the very cold tile. And this is stone tile. This is not like a linoleum tile. Or there's no warmth factor in this. So it was cold. And the ankle thing, it really hurt. And I thought, Elvis, this is how it happens. I'm having an Elvis moment. And I even had a sense that I might lose consciousness. And so first thing what I did, and the good news is that I had my phone with me. So, yeah, I was playing solitaire. So I got my phone. It didn't fall out of my reach or anything. And so first thing I did was text Susie to tell her we might be delayed. And then I texted Yvonne and asked her to come over here real fast. And I caught her just as she was getting ready to go out and go to a Super Bowl party. So I just made it with her. So she said, I'll be right there. Well, it's a bit of a trip from my house to her house. And as I waited there, I started getting colder and colder and colder. And I thought, shoot, this is hypothermia coming on. You know, I had better not lie here for very long. You know, I couldn't stand it. I was starting to have tremors from the cold.
Because you had no pants on.
Had no pants on. I mean, it's totally humiliating. How can this happen? You know?
Well, I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh.
You'll have your moment. You'll have your Elvis moment someday. It was awareness of impending death moment. I was scared. I was scared. If I had not been able to reach Yvonne, I would have called 911. But, you know, those paramedics at my fire station are these good-looking, hunky guys. I
yeah.
You know, I don't...
I can see not calling them.
I would like to meet them, but not with my bare ass on the bathroom floor. No.
So, Yvonne eventually get there?
Yvonne eventually got there, and I got up. I was able to get up because I have bad leaking ceiling in that bathroom, and I have buckets there that just stay there all around the clock. And then when it rains, I make sure I have them placed properly. Well, so right at my reach, I had two buckets, and I turned them over, and I used them as a platform to raise myself until I could then reach the bathroom counter and really pull myself up. And I discovered that I could put weight on the ankle, so that meant my ankle wasn't broken. And I hobbled. You will remember that it's only 10 steps from the guest room bed to the bathroom. And I just hobbled over, and I got on that bed and waited for Yvonne. But I was very shook up and very out of sorts.
Unexpected.
Yeah, it was unexpected. It was shattering. You know, it was really a glimpse of death. It really was, Susie. It was really a glimpse of death, and that just scared me. I would say it scared the shit out of me, but that hasn't happened yet. Not yet! You know, like, I may never shit again. That was...
Well, here's the suggestion. Do you now switch over to, like, the house coat dress thing at night so you don't have to pull your pants up? And then if you fall down again, no one will see your butt.
No, I don't do that because I have to have something on my butt at all times because of urinary leakage. You know, if it's not one thing, it is another thing. Welcome to old age, Barbara.
What you're saying is that Peter Pan had it right. Never grow up.
Yeah, never grow up. See, even though you may not grow up, your body does.
Yeah,
your body goes through these changes no matter where your heart and soul is. But what I realized is that my house has a lot of falling hazards still, even though I've corrected some things. And I need to go through and do a real serious thing. And I also need to get my walking canes kind of back in circulation around the house.
Good idea.
Yeah, not so. It's not like I need it so much when I go to the store, but I need it in getting up and down. I just need to have them handy.
Well, I'm glad it didn't turn out worse. I'm glad you had your phone, and I'm glad you were able to get to me, although I wasn't sure what I was going to do other than worry until you told me you were up. But yeah, I'm glad you did.
And the one thing that my doctor said when I told him my Elvis moment story is after he finished laughing, he said, you should call the paramedics. And the reason I want you to call the paramedics if that happens again is because they check you out.
No, that's true.
Yeah, they check
Good
you.
Point.
They check you out and make sure everything else is functioning. And, you know, you need to know that after a fall like that.
Good idea.
I promised him that if it happened again, oh, God, don't let it happen again. And see, that's the second fall I've had since November.
Ah, I don't like to hear that.
I tripped and fell and hurt my arm between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I tripped in my aromatherapy lab. So I have to be really cautious. I have to just change some things, unclutter the floor area. And
good plan.
Just be cautious and we'll be fine. So now, enough about me.
Yes, enough about you. Let's talk about me. So I am continuing to have great success with the absorber towel. I got a container, a Tupperware container, to stick my two absorber towels in, and I just leave one in there, and then I use the other one, and then I rotate them. No black spots, no issues, no nothing. I've got a little vinegar and some water in there, and I seal it between appointments, but if I didn't, big deal.
And these are the half towels?
Half towels. They roll up really nicely and fit right in a half of an oval Tupperware container. And the lid, I just pop it on and off in between if I remember. I leave one out and the other one stays covered and it just sits in the corner of my bathtub. It's out of the way. I have a huge bathtub, so that works really well. I cannot stress how much I'm enjoying them. No, that's not why I brought it up, though. I brought it up because did you see the put it under the happy hoodie post?
Yeah, what a terrific idea.
Yes.
I'm going to suggest that idea to Yvonne, who has hidden. Now hidden. I still have the other package unopened I just noticed yesterday that I couldn't see the absorber that I cut in half anywhere in the back. It's just like, I don't know, she's done something with them. And, you know, she's taking...
Something nefarious.
Yeah, something nefarious. She's just like, what a deal.
That's interesting.
I'm going to try that, though. I think that's really excellent.
Especially for my big doodles, with their big, gigantic doodle ears.
Yeah.
I had an interesting experience this week.
Okay.
With the dog that almost bit me. Remember the one that snuck around the outside of the soft e-collar and scratched my hand that I thought was a bite, and then by the time I cleaned it up, I realized it just scratched my hand. And
yeah.
There was no puncture. Well, I got to talk to Mom this time when I went over there to groom the dog.
Right.
The dog has been having reoccurring ear infections. And mind you, I only see them every 3 to 4 months. So it isn't anything I'm doing. That's something about the ear health on their own. Not that he was a volunteer for ear hair pulling. But when it got bad, I would occasionally go in and straighten it out. I could see it was wicking out some of the waxy stuff. They've been wrestling with him. I mean, total full-on adversarially wrestling with him to get his nails done and his butt squeezed. And he is just getting worse and worse for me because of what's happening at the vet. And all of a sudden, through Chrissy's podcast, the Creating Great Grooming Dogs podcast, talks about questioning of the owner to find out exactly what is happening. And it was just so evident to me that they are manhandling him a little bit at the vet to get the treatments done they need to get done. And it's reflecting on me. So I came up with a plan this time, and that is, they can do the nails at the vet since he keeps having to go into the vet. And if I don't do the nails, I don't get any pushback from the dog. So he was back to his normal self. We didn't backtrack so far. It wasn't recoverable with me. But the relationship that I have with the dog is apparently not going to be able to have those adversarial moments because of what's going on consistently every couple weeks at the vet's. But it was like a light bulb coming on. I totally get why he didn't want me to do anything, because he was expecting a huge fight where no fight needs to be. So we had a very good, pleasant experience. I didn't have to muzzle. I did have them put the muzzle on from the beginning so that I could get his bottom done. But after that, I pulled the muzzle off and he was non-confrontational. And I was very pleased because I started to question what I had done to create it. And I realized now, nothing I'm doing. I can't do enough every 3 to 4 months with that dog to actually have a gigantic effect. But boy, going to the vets every other week or whatever it's been, that definitely has an effect. I must say, I pulled that ear hair.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
This time I did, because I had the muzzle on him, and I thought, screw this, they can't even get the medicine past the ear hair. And it was red and inflamed on one side, so I cleared it out. I could see they had attempted pulling the ear hair, but they had not really, they hadn't gotten the stuff that was down in the, like, that was matted together with the, it was so easy to pull out. I mean, how hard could they have tried? I grabbed it and it just came out. You know, it wasn't even, no hemostats needed or anything. Mm-hmm. It wanted to go. And yet it looked like they had plucked like the upper part of, I don't know. It was interesting. Anyway, the ear looked like it was healing. So I just cleaned out what gave up easily, and but I was pleased because that had really bothered me. I don't usually go backwards with dogs. I go forwards. They get a little bit better until they hit a wall where they just don't get any farther, usually somewhere around the nails, but the rest of everything else goes fine and there's no battle anymore. But wow. So I thought that was kind of interesting, and I had a great vacation.
Oh, good. And you rode those roller coasters even though it was cold.
Yes.
No, I had an unusual occurrence that is somewhat troubling, and I'll tell you, it wasn't troubling in terms of my business, but it was troubling in terms of our industry. And this is what happened. Uh-oh. I got a call on my cell phone. You know, I'm not answering the shop phone, and the reason is that my hearing is so poor that I can't hear people very well on the messages and on that phone. And so I just am referring people to call myself. I got a cell phone call and they wanted to know, they had a mini dachshund that needed a nail trim. And do I do that on a walk-in basis? And was I available? And I said, sure, anytime after 10:30. Actually, this was all by text. So at 10:30, this older couple, oh, well, older, not older than me.
That's so funny.
Yeah, right. This mature couple comes in and they're carrying their little long-haired dachshund. I did my usual thing. And what I do with these walk-in dog trims where I don't know the dog and I don't even know the people is that instead of taking the dog and taking it in the back and dealing with whatever happens, I go out front, I sit in a chair, I have the person with the dog sit beside me in the chair, and I talk to them both, and then ultimately I clip the nails while they're in mom or dad's arms. Right away, before we got into too much conversations, they told me that they were new in town and they were looking for a groomer. And that when they walked in the door, they knew I was a winner. And I said, what? And they said, because it doesn't smell bad.
Oh. Yeah.
I said, okay.
I can see that.
So then they said that they had been to two other places that had failed, the smell test. And that rang a whole lot of bells because I can remember a time span many years ago when I was new that might have applied to me, and I had two shop cats that I later found out were using the potted plants. Because I, found that out when I went to test to see if the soil was damp. It wasn't soil. So they said that one place was so dirty they just didn't know how the people could work in there. And they said that there was like dog hair hanging off of every fixture and on the walls and everything. And you know what? We go nose and eye blind to our own facilities. And if we don't have a cleaning protocol in place, we tend to let things slide and we just get the hell out of there and come late and leave early and don't do adequate cleaning and don't see what the stranger sees. And it's really important to walk into your shop like you were a stranger every now and then and see what pops out at you. Does it smell? If your place has an odor, you probably become nose blind to it, and you probably don't even inhale through your nose when you walk through the door. You yeah. just avoid that.
Instantly mouth breathe.
Instantly mouth breathe, and it's your own place. But they were very disappointed. One of the two places, they watched the groomer walk away from the dog on the table, and the dog jumped off the table in the noose.
Oh, my God.
And they said, fortunately, it was a large dog, and its toes touched the floor. But, God almighty, don't do that. Don't walk away. First of all, just don't do that. Don't walk away from a dog on the table in a noose.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
And secondly, there again, you got to look through the eyes of a stranger every now and then. And you got to take a close look at what you're doing that might appear strange on a video. Or in the case of somebody that walks in the shop that doesn't know you. So I don't know if they'll be back. They're going to go to some other places, but I know that they were very happy at my place. But it's not about me. I wasn't glad that I won, kind of. No, I was just like one out of three that passed. I passed, you know, and I was grateful for that, but I was sorry for the other people, and I was sorry that that is a reflection of our local groomers now on these people.
It's a challenge for me to keep it good smelling in the little tiny trailer that I have, because underneath the floor mats gets really gross right away during the day. The water gets down there right away, and it just starts smelling, even though it's clean. But mostly my place smells like cologne and shampoo smells once that first bath yeah. goes. But the very first appointment is a little bit rough. And I'm thinking, as you're talking here, what I should do is schedule an appointment for my trailer to get groomed
yeah.
so that I have, in the middle of my day, at some point in time, a block of time where I do nothing but go out there and wipe the walls down, because that's really the worst part for me. And I wipe the tops of the shampoos off all the time. I wipe down little bits and pieces, but to actually get every wall wiped down at one time so it looks decent in there, it would be good for me to schedule in time for that. So good topic.
Yeah, well,
good unexpected topic. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shots Innovative Systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
Okay, so what else is on our agenda today?
Well, I'd love to tell you. The funny thing is that there's a cat sitting on my agenda paperwork. So let me remove him. Come here, buddy. There we go. Okay. Well, let's see. Oh, I know. Let's talk about dog foot care.
Okay.
Dog foot care. So we had 31 days straight of rain in the month of January. Ooh. I mean, no breaks, 31 days. Some of that was actually snow. Then we had one day break, and then it started raining again. It's just been a lot of wetness, and I think that people's feet suffer. People meaning the dogs. I don't know why I call them people. The dogs' feet suffer in this weather. It's cold, it's dry, my hands are all cracked. The dog feet can get cracked as well, and I just thought I'd talk about dog feet and see what your thoughts are on it. Let's talk, first of all, about grooming feet. Talk about shaving pads. Do you shave pads or do you scissor pads?
I mostly shave pads. But so here's the other thing. Do you go over the tops of the pads or do you dig in there around the big pad? Well, I mostly dig.
That's question two.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, it's good. Go ahead. They got kind of go together. They have to go together.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah, I mostly do pads. But I do have a much harder time if a dog is struggling with feet. It's becoming hard for me to do that if they're struggling because of my hand issues. So there are times when I do some very regular dogs, you know, monthly dogs, that I will skim the pads and then check next time in between. So that's kind of an adjustment I've made due to my own failings, but I pretty much believe in cleaning the pads out. That was an interesting factoid. When I visited Scotland about my first trip, which was probably about 15 years ago, at the school where I visited, they didn't do the pads. They said that...
Not at all?
No. They said that the dogs had that fur for protection of the feet. But the truth is, the stickers can get jammed up in there and can't come out, and you can end up having serious infections and stuff. And if you've ever had poorly fitting socks or something stuck on the inside of your foot, between your shoes and your foot, you know how uncomfortable that is. And, you know, like,
it seems like it's a much larger object than it actually turns out to be. It's a teeny tiny little rock, and it feels like the size of a boulder. Yeah. Ow.
What dogs do is they'll kind of try to tend to that and maybe lick their feet and chew their feet a lot, and then that can cause problems. Or they just walk funny so that they don't walk on it, and then that's even more serious kind of structural problems. If they're like walking on the inside or the outside of their foot. I was kind of shocked by that. And she was a gun dog. Over there, they don't call them sporting dogs. They call them gun dogs. So she was a gun dog person. So these were dogs that were working out in the field that she said that they wouldn't dig into those pads, that was considered natural.
So what blade do you use, or do you use your Brevera?
Yeah, I use my 5-in-1, and I usually use it on about a 15 setting. And if it's bad, I'll go into it, use a 40 blade setting. You know,
I'm a 40 with the clipper vac, and I rarely touch the foot unless it's matted, and then I'll go in and get behind that mat. Sometimes I'm a level with the pad. If a dog has reoccurring matting, or for instance, here in the Northwest, we have a lot of trees that produce sap. I don't know. I didn't notice a lot of sap-producing cactuses. But we get a lot of sap and pine boughs stuck in there and all that. Are there?
Yeah, no. I raised my hand to you because I had a Pappy on yesterday that had sticky, ick, horrible mats in his ears, Papillon ear, important hair, because the husband had dropped honey-coated ham on the dog.
Oh, man, that's funny.
And it had dried in the hair, and it was mad.
Yes,
oh,
gross.
Man, and she hadn't been able to get it out, and Yvonne couldn't get it out. I got it out. You want to know how?
Impressive.
I am the mat master, the dematting queen. I used three things. I used a silicone-based spray, and she said she had used Cowboy Magic gel, and it hadn't worked, and it just made things worse. Well, I didn't use a gel. I used a Best Shot Sentiment spray, and when I had deeper problems, I used a dry clean spray with starch, because if I had had it available to me, I would have used cornstarch to kind of soak up the sticky stuff and help me be able to break apart that mat. And then the third thing that I used that was critical, I used my half moon comb, large end, just to pick apart. But that comb has helped me demat fine hair better than anything I've had my hands on in my lifetime. And it's because it makes it so much less painful that when you can catch just a couple of hairs with those fine but spaced out tines on the wider side of the half moon combs.
Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris, because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order, or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website, and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? All right, well, now I'm going to steer the train back to feet.
Sorry.
Back over to feet.
But mats
That's
are
okay.
mats, you know.
That's good. Yes, mats are mats. So let's talk mats in, we talked about mats in the pads. So how do you get them out? So I generally get the clipper back out and I try to get some space between the pad and the hair a little bit so that I can get in there with the 40. And then with the suction, it comes out pretty easily. But oftentimes then behind that pad is irritation and uncomfortable feet. So what do we do to soothe the foot that's had a mat in the pad?
Gold Bond.
Ah, Gold Bond. Gold Bond. How about fizzy tablets in the bathtub?
Yep.
Fizzy tablets in the bathtub.
But mostly I have already bathed the dog when I find the mat. You know, if I know, if I know ahead of time, then I can add it to the bathing regime. But most often,
I guess it's such a reoccurring problem here with the sap and the pine trees fir trees that I check there before I put the dog in the bath. I stick my feet, my finger. I stick my finger in the pads and I feel for mats because I want to work on those before I actually get the dog into the bath if I need to use the fuzzy foot thing in there afterwards.
Understandable.
Yes. So now there's also mats on the top of the feet. What do you do with those between the toes mats?
I comb them upwards and I use my small thinning shears to get in there and cut them off. And then that helps to blend it all together so it doesn't look so gouged out.
I can see that, but what do you do with that big gnarly mat that's in there? Are you going to cut that out? Are you going to try to comb it out? Are you going to put some gel in there and try to comb it out?
You know, actually, even though I am the dematting queen, I do not go through a lot to demat feet. If it doesn't comb out with a little bit of spray and a proper utensil, I will cut those out because I don't want the dog to become foot shy with me. It could be a deal breaker.
Fizzy tablets. By fizzy tablets, I mean, see, I'm getting I get to look at the Facebook comments and actually respond to them while they're happening, unlike the other times we've been doing live. The fizzy tablets are bath bombs or the marshmallow lady. Faith is making a fizzy tablet. I think Christine makes a fizzy tablet. Warren London makes a fizzy tablet. But for me, it's dollar store bath bombs, and they're 3 for $1.
We love bath bombs. I have done one other thing. I have done original Alka-Seltzer.
Oh, there you go.
Not the current contemporary Alka-Seltzer. You have to shop around and find the original Alka-Seltzer that doesn't have the painkiller in it. It's just got the fizzy stuff.
Okay.
Kind of like a mini bath bomb in a way, I guess.
Okay. Circling back to the toes, have you ever seen people take the comb and rake it through the toe, like up and down verticals, so it just looks, as opposed to combing it up and pulling the hair out, raking it through with the end of the comb? Have you ever seen that done? I saw it the other day.
I don't know, but that's the way that Yvonne demands.
Oh, interesting. I just thought it was a unique method. I don't do it that way. And I'm a big cutter-outer of mats. I don't mess around with it, but I'm a more of a utilitarian.
When you use the thinning scissors over the top of the foot and you've combed the inside up, combed between the toes up, if it's matted and you scissor it, you break up the matting that way, and then you can comb down and or whatever more easily, unless it's a huge clump that's on the foot itself.
So the fizz doesn't release the mats. The fizz actually makes the foot feel better when there's been a mat in there that's been irritating or feeling like a piece of rock in there. So there you go. Okay, cool. Let's move on to nails. I'm a proponent of Dremeling nails when I can, but I will occasionally clip a nail I kind of cater it to what the dog does. And I know as you've been getting older, you have a little bit more difficult time with the Dremel, and I can totally see that happening because my Dremel's pretty heavy, and managing a struggling dog with the Dremel it can be challenging, but that's my favorite way to do nail trims. How about you? I know your favorite way. Your favorite way is to have Yvonne do the nail trim.
You know, after nearly 7 years, I have given up on Yvonne ever doing the nail trim. Well, aren't we just the voice? Back to the feet. What were we saying? Oh, nails. Oh, no. I want to tell you, I've gotten to just hate nail trimming. Dew claws. some of those dew claws are so tight against the foot, and you have to kind of pry them a little bit away from the foot in order to get the clipper to fit in there. And when you're using a Dremel, if it's any kind of a coated dog, it's real scary to use a Dremel on a dew claw.
Oh, yeah, I clip dew claws.
I almost always clip my dew claws. But if I know that the people want them Dremeled, I'll do that. Or if I know they have young children, I'll Dremel the nails. Or if they're elderly people with fragile skin, we Dremel for that. But my preference is just to snip them with the clippers because it's much quicker and it's less holding the foot time for my left hand.
And guys, remember the angle you cut the nail at has an effect on how short the nail is. If you've got the nail here and you cut it straight across, it is not nearly as short as if you cut it at an angle this way. You're getting much more nail removed if you cut it at an angle rather than just cutting straight down across the bottom, even though it's really not affecting the quick. It's more just the outside that it affects. So do take a look at some nail trim videos if you don't know what I'm talking about there. Oftentimes we are the people that inspect the feet the most, especially with some of the elderly clients. And oftentimes we see foot problems like growths or, more importantly, fungal infections in the toenails that can indicate bigger health problems. So that brown discoloration that you see up towards the end of the nail can be nail fungus or nail bed infections. And sometimes if it's constant mud pie like we do here in the Northwest, you need to get that looked at. So a suggestion to take the dog to the vet when you see some foot and nail issues coming along, because really nail issues make... Well, you know how it is when your feet hurt. It makes standing no good. So you got to get those things looked at.
Well, so just kind of on a related thing. When you run into a growth, and it could be on the foot or maybe anywhere, do you, A, groom it so that you camouflage the growth, cover it up, or B, expose it? If I don't know that the people already know about a growth, I will expose it so that they have to see it every day.
Yep, I can see that.
You know what I'm saying? Every day. You know, now I kind of made a mistake this week, and I exposed a growth on a dog's thigh, outer thigh, that I, Yvonne, did the people know about this growth? And she said, I don't think so. She, you know, in other words, she didn't ask. She didn't find out that she doesn't know. And so I exposed the growth. And it turns out that they took the dog, the last time that I exposed the growth, to the dermatologist who said, oh, all these dogs get those. It's nothing. Ugh. And this was another one, and her mother, who owns the dog, is going to be a little upset about the hole I made.
Well, being the veterinary employee that I am, I write it down in the file when I find a lump so that I know if we've had the conversation. When I bring the dog back in, I say, have you seen the lump at so-and-so a spot? If, in fact, they are going to take the dog to the vet, I shave that bad boy naked because the vets don't do a very good job. So I make a nice margin around it so that it's easy for them to see and make a determination if they want to do a fine needle aspirate or take it off or laser it or do whatever. At least they've got a good view of it. From then on, if they don't actually do anything with that lump, then I leave it covered up because for the most part, I'll camouflage it.
Once you know that they've addressed it, or at least they're aware of it. And in this case, the growth looked a little angry. And I don't know whether Yvonne had brushed it or combed it and kind of woke it up, made it bleed. I don't know. I couldn't exactly tell. But it looked a little angry. And so that was part of the reason why I went ahead and exposed it. And, you just got to be willing to make a mistake here and there. And that's the truth. You've got to be willing every day that sometimes you're going to make some mistakes.
Yeah. Own up to it.
Right. Okay. Sorry I did that. I'll
Fix it. Yeah, speaking of oops, I did a dog the day before I left on vacation, and then I did its parents, two dogs, the day after I got back. And I looked at the dog I did before vacation, and I saw some crazy hairs that I obviously missed on the haircut, right? Because I had vacationitis. So I texted them and I said, let your daughter know that I'll fix Milo's hair next time I'm over at your house. And Grandma says, I don't see anything wrong with Milo's hair. It's so funny how I saw a completely different haircut than they were seeing. They were totally fine with the way the dog looked, and all I could see was crazy hairs I had left on the dog. Oh, my God. Well, let's take a moment, and then we're going to come back with our back-to-school segment, which is really an Angry Bird segment. I love Angry Bird segments. So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply.
Got a grooming question? Let's ask Barbara.
Tell me about Hyponic shampoo and your impression of it.
GroomPod member had been referred to this line of products, Hyponic, and I guess she got some samples or something and wanted to know. And I know I've talked about it before, but this company just makes me furious. The product is probably okay, and I've got to tell you, I have not used the products. I cannot testify about the effectiveness of the products. But the marketing of the product is so irritating to me. Well, let me tell you why. It's because, first of all, we need to keep in mind the Hyponic shampoos are manufactured in Korea. It would appear that the marketing has been suggested from Korea. And they make a big deal that they started this line because their personal dog had lifelong skin problem caused by shampoo.
I saw that.
Now, Susie, you know that that's not so.
Oh, yeah. They can't fool me with that kind of language. I listen to this show.
But, you know, they make a big deal. So the first thing that I run into with them is what I call the big lie. And it goes like this. Shampoo is ingested through our scalps.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Oh, my gosh. I thought we were beyond that.
No, we are beyond that. But do you know what? That lie of shampoos, and they make a reference right there in writing and in pictures of topical heartworm medication. So they say that tropical heartworm medication becomes systemic. That means that shampoos do also. That is totally erroneous. It is totally false information. And I will emphasize, heartworm medication has been engineered to be transdermal.
It has a carrier.
Shampoo is a rinse-off product that does not permeate the skin. Oh, damn, it makes me so mad. And they go on. I really only kind of got through the shampoos, but I looked at their detangler mist and everyday mist. And in that marketing, they make a big deal about no surfactants.
Yeah, wow.
See, they're just making these generalized statements that are absolutely untrue. And they say your pet skin is 5 times more sensitive than human skin. What does that mean? 5 times? What does more sensitive mean? Ticklish?
Maybe.
I don't think so. You know, more sensitive than you, and far more susceptible to harmful ingredients found in detergents and soap widely used in most shampoo. What a horrible sentence. That is indeed malignant misinformation, right?
Yep.
That is misinformation created to make you afraid of other products. And that sucks a big one. Oh, excuse me. So they go on to say, our products are free of hazardous chemical substances. Okay, well, that's nice to know. But then, in parentheses, free of sulfate, PEGs, parabens, cocamidopropyl betaine, silicone, mineral oil, etc.
So what are they using for the cleaner? How are they?
So you know what they... You know what they've done? Here's their tactic. They are using what I call novel ingredients.
Okay.
Novel. Now, I would call them, if I wanted to be a little bit passionate, I would call them obscure ingredients.
Okay.
But I'm going to be, I don't want to just like make it look like they're bad ingredients. They're not. They're not obscure in so much as they are novel. They are novel enough that I had to add almost all of their cleansing ingredients to my glossary. They were new to me.
Huh.
They lead off with babassoamidopropyl betaine.
Wow. That is an impressive name. You just threw that one out there and I'm looking at it trying to work through it. Wow. Go ahead.
Babassoamidopropyl betaine.
Excellent.
It's and you know, I think this is an ingredient that actually, this is not that obscure. It is a common kind of substitute for cocamidopropyl betaine. And I'm going to tell you that the things that make cocamidopropyl betaine have some issues are how it's manufactured, not the ingredient itself. And babassoamidopropyl betaine is manufactured in the same procedure and process and uses the same disgusting intermediate product that cocamidopropyl betaine. It's just that you're not going to recognize babassoamidopropyl betaine as bad. And then their next surfactant, sodium cocoyl alanionate. What?
Yeah, that's even harder to say.
These ingredients are just made that it's like you haven't seen them before. Nobody's pointed them out as dangerous, and so they're novel, and so they're acceptable.
but it's still a surfactant. I mean, isn't this sodium lauryl methylolipropylene, that one, isn't that a surfactant?
Yes, sodium lauryl methylaminopropionate.
I'll just throw that one out at the next Scrabble table.
It's a sodium salt of lauric acid. Lauric acid is a salt that's extracted from coconuts.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, and they are calling all of these ingredients natural, which just, like, makes me puke. Look at here. Disodium cocoa glutamate. That's the third one. So they have four surfactants instead of one or two, right?
Right.
Disodium cocoa glutamate. I'm going to read something that I got from a website called organicglow.com. And they say, sounds natural enough, right? No, well, actually, disodium cocoa glutamate. I've never heard that growing on a bush.
Yeah.
but you see, it's not just disodium cocoa glutamate. It's disodium cocoa glutamate, parentheses, from coconut oil.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds natural enough, right? Wrong. To make this ingredient, you begin with a raw natural coconut oil. Next comes the extraction process, where this oil is separated out for use with petrochemicals and other chemical solvents. So a synthesis process has to occur in order to extract the coconut oil out, okay? The extraction is followed by extensive processing and forced reactions with synthetic chemicals, usually several reactions with several chemicals, which transforms the ingredient until a foam-boosting chemical surfactant is produced. This ingredient is marketed as from coconut oil or naturally derived when it is no longer equivalent to coconut oil, but in actuality is a synthetic creation. To put it simply, disodium cocoa glutamate from coconut oil does not grow on coconut trees.
Right. So basically, it's a really sneaky marketing campaign.
It's very sneaky. It's very slimy.
The product may be great, but the marketing is not so great. Do you know what kind of dog the dog was? Imagine this kind of dog having any skin problems. It's a Cocker Spaniel. Their Cocker Spaniel had skin problems that were shampoo derived. I'm just not buying it. But that's what it, you know, interesting.
They have no PEGs, but they have PPG for myristyl ether. Now, it's a skin softener. The polypropylene glycol ether of myristyl alcohol. Does that seem natural?
No.
It's not a PEG, but it's a PPG, which is the same goddamn process.
It's still ethoxylated, right?
Yes, it's still...
I was just trying to impress you with my retention.
And I got it. You are so impressive. Susie, you've grown so much in your knowledge of this stuff.
And I did a 255-foot first drop roller coaster. So there.
Okay, well, good for you.
Okay.
I would never do that. So look at this PPG for myristyl ether. It's so novel that it doesn't even show up in the CIR assessment of PEG and PPG cosmetic ingredients that was done in 2016. It's probably very safe, but it's notable that Hyponic makes a big deal out of not using PEG ingredients, and the difference between PEG and PPG ingredients is that PEGs are made through reaction with ethylene oxide, and PPGs are made with propylene oxide. Ethylene oxide is a known carcinogen, And propylene oxide is a possible carcinogen. It just hasn't been locked into yet. They undergo the same synthesis process and share the same concerns regarding toxic byproduct of 1,4-dioxane, which can be removed and is removed by most post-manufacturing processes. Here's what I say. The biggest difference between PEGs and PPGs is that PEGs have a perception problem.
Oh.
And PPGs don't. Right?
Right.
Ugh. Why is this of any importance, Susie? Ask me.
Barbara, why do you care so passionately about this marketing issue?
Because how a company markets is a reflection of their integrity and their honesty. And so they just put ideas in your mind that are toxic, that are so erroneous and so misleading. And their words become your beliefs. It's just effed up. It's bad, you know, and what this company has done, it's just used a lot. I mean, the ingredients are all fine. None of them scare me. So what? All of these ingredients that they call harmful, you know, like PEGs and sulfates and parabens and cocaminopropyl, they have all been reviewed by our Cosmetic Ingredient Review Board and approved as safe as used.
Right.
You're not going to drink a glass of silicone. You're not going to drink a glass of PEGs. No. You're going to have a little bit on a rinse off product. You know,
there you go.
Oh, damn it. They're so misleading. They are doing it in such an uppity way and sneaky way. I can't hardly stand it.
Well, I'm not going to support them. I won't buy it.
Your purchases support their language. Your purchases support their marketing. I just wouldn't go there.
I agree. I'm not going to go there. I like to use our sponsors' products because they seem to have pretty good marketing as far as, you know, they're up front and they don't blow smoke.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why they are honored to be our sponsors. Because frankly, if these hyponic people came to us and offered a sponsorship, I would insist that we not take it.
I always check with you. All right, well, here's the happy news, Barbara. We've hit an hour, and we did it all without any hitches. How cool is that? I think we're going to talk breed profile grooming next time, because if we even start on that subject, there's at least 10 more minutes right there, and I don't want to have to edit that much. So, full disclosure, I'm pulling the plug on this one.
Okay, all right.
I love your new wig. It's fabulous. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
The wig, yes. It's like channeling Lucille Ball in your redness. It's beautiful. Hey, you guys, thank you for being here with us. We really appreciate it. And we're working towards Barbara's washing machine. If you want to donate to Barbara's washing machine, you can do that on the website, www.thegroompod.com. Support our sponsors, Best Shot Show Season, Evolution Shears, and The Absorber Towel. And let's do it again next week, although we probably will not have you join us visually, but we'll be here next week on the audio podcast. Happy grooming, everybody. Bye-bye now.
Take care of yourselves.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of The Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.